my friends. Welcome once again to the Every Single Day or Week or Month or Year podcast. Finally, this is like a role for me. Like, I'm really proud we're doing episode 315, and I did 314 just a week ago. So again, if you want to start a habit, you got to have some habity kind of things. And so trying to get back into the swing of things, trying to drop pods every week. And for me, this is extra special because I'm literally in just a couple of hours jumping on a plane, flying out of the Pacific Northwest, which it was funny on the timing because Ellen and I knew we wanted to get someplace warm in the middle of winter where it was sunny, things of that nature. And now I'm leaving when it's actually sunny in the Pacific Northwest. Not warm, but it is sunny. Nonetheless, we're going to a warmer place that is sunny to hang out for a couple of days. But I wanted to make sure before I got out of town, did a podcast, and it seemed appropriate, especially this week, maybe to kind of talk about the theme of the day, because we had the inauguration yesterday, all kinds of kind of the pageantry and festivity of bringing in a new president and seeing the moving forward of a former president and just all those kinds of things happening. And so I was thinking, like, what could I do today? What's the thing that I want to remind us as everyday missionaries who I think by kind of our creed, we would say God is more important, kingdom is more important, Jesus is more important than anything else. What's the reminder? And I think, again, as so often the podcast tries to address in our current American political evangelical climate, what's a reminder that I want us to have in light of everything that sort of happened yesterday? And if you listen to the media, depending on what side of the political spectrum you're on, there's different narratives that are in play. But I've titled today, episode 315, Priests and Prophets Over Patriots and Pundits. And what I mean by this is that we, as followers of Jesus, what we first and foremost want to remember is that our calling is to be priests, because we are a kingdom of priests. We're called to be prophets who share the message of Jesus. And we want to make sure that we prioritize that and Jesus' identity, his values, his vision, the objectives of his intention for making the world a flourishing place, that we keep those things as a higher priority than being either the patriots of our world or the pundits of our world. Now, I want to start on the back half of that title for just a minute, because here's a thing I find so often in the discussion, especially of patriots. Like, if there's anything that's almost a sacred doctrine in American culture, it's the idea that patriots are saints and non-patriots are ain'ts. And if you're a non-patriot, you're almost like a greater threat than a heretic, you know, like it's kind of that kind of thing. And that's one thing right there where I always go like, man, that's a little problematic for more than one reason. But the other thing I want to remind us of is that too often when we talk about patriots, for example, it's sort of in the eye of the beholder. In other words, if you go back over the last few years, I would say the debates between the left and the right were very much about which one is more patriotic. Right? Like, honestly, that's the funny thing. So when you're on the right, you assume only people on the right are truly patriotic. They truly love the flag, the country, they love guns. That makes them patriots, right? If you're on the left, there's this love affair with kind of constitution, everybody having equal rights, everybody having equal access and that kind of thing. And truly being patriotic there is to protect those values, in particular to those who may be marginalized or somehow there may be some kind of homophobia or some type of bigotry or bias or whatever. They're always wanting to protect that everybody gets this fair treatment and protection and access to whatever. So for some, equity, as far as the American dream, is patriotism. And for others, it's kind of this more nationalism, and that's patriotism. My personal take on all of that is that I find patriots across the board. Like, I really do. Like, I remember one time I had somebody say, "You're not a patriot, Matt, and here's why, because you don't back things that they perceive to be the only real markers of patriotism." And I remember I thought it was funny because I'm like, man, I fly an American flag at my house 365 days a year. If you drive down my road at 2 a.m, you will see that flag high and lifted up under lighting to make sure that it is never in the dark. And I go, doesn't that make me patriotic? Am I not a patriot for that? And I love my country and I want to see my country thrive and everything else. And so I think these accusations of not being patriotic one side to the other, even like right now, I'm hearing a lot of people on the left saying President Trump says he wants to make America great again, but he actually just wants to run over the Constitution. He wants to be a dictator. He doesn't really care about our truest values. He just cares about money and power and whatever the narrative is. And I'm like, yeah, I just think that's patriotism from a certain point of view, as much as on the right, they bring patriotism from another point of view. And I think patriotism is actually represented well on both sides often, and sometimes not very well in other categories. So both sides kind of suffer under the weight of those things. But what kind of drives that is that other idea of being pundits, right? And so the idea that I'm here to defend my side's point of view and its vision for life and flourishing and politics and everything else. And you can get really passionate about that. And the ideologies of the left and the right are more than sometimes ideologies. They're almost doctrines in relationship to almost religious dogma that's just politically rooted. And so sometimes we can be so pundit oriented, and sometimes we can be so patriot oriented, whether it be the patriots and pundits of the left or the patriots and pundits of the right, that actually obscures, then for us as followers of Jesus, it obscures us pursuing his motivations and his kingdom agenda above all else. And so an example of this in my mind is when we get really, really worked up. Like I'm seeing that right now on two fronts. I'm seeing the positive and negative worked up as a former administration rolls out, the new administration rolls in, and kind of the idea that the new savior is in town and all nature is being set right, or the old savior is leaving town and everything's going to go to hell. Like both sides have this sense in which only when our crew is in charge and in power is there the potential for a better tomorrow. And I think that's letting the kind of the doctrines of our political ideologies kind of topple what Jesus has called us to do and how Jesus has called us to do it. Now, I get if somebody's like, man, Jesus is not my priority. I don't really care about the scriptures. That's not my jam. I don't do that thing. I'm kind of a free thinker, whatever it is. Fine, man. Then again, you want to make your investments into whatever tools you have in this world to bring the order that you envision. But for us as followers of Jesus, I think it's different. And I think the idea of being patriots and pundits should ride in the backseat of the car. And in the driver's side and riding shotgun should be the idea that we are priests and prophets in this world. Now, I know that language is a little bit more Hebrew scripture oriented or Old Testament for some of you, but it's actually very much a New Testament idea as well. And I tend to blend those worlds a little bit. I love the Hebrew scriptures. I think it actually sets a template that we should overlay on then the Christian scriptures of the New Testament to kind of give us some direction and focus. But if I just take those ideas and I kind of hybrid them between the two different scripture bodies, old and new, the idea of the priests is that idea of we are ambassadors for God. We're these liaisons, if you will, between the unapproachable Almighty and the populace that the Almighty wants connection with, right? So you think about it like in the book of Exodus. They build the tabernacle. God comes and rests in the tabernacle. And then the priesthood is established as that intermediary body of people that are helping the overall population of Israel have connectivity to God, and they're revealing God to the overall population, right? That's the role of the priest. And then the role of the prophet is to communicate God's heart, God's standard, to encourage when it's going right, to warn when it's going wrong. And throughout much of the Hebrew scriptures, then what you see is the prophet's kind of warning that, hey, you're not caring about God's priorities. You're not caring about the poor. You're not caring about the foreigner. You're not caring about the outcast. You're caring about your greed. You're discarding your wives and putting them in a place of need as opposed to taking care of them. You are not honoring the foundations of Israel's God and the way he's put together society, whatever else, right? And so the prophet's job then is to be in that space of warning, and in particular, not warning the outsiders, but warning the insiders and reminding the insiders that, hey, God's priority is such that what creates a thriving community and a thriving nation are these things that Moses gave in the law about caring for one another and about loving your neighbor and about making sure that you're not taking from your neighbor and you're not trying to suppress your neighbor to the purpose of elevating yourself. Like all of that was there. I say all of that as I think about then everything that's transpired this week and the inauguration and everything else. And I go, I want to make sure that we as followers of Jesus never lose sight of the fact of who's in the driver's seat, who's riding shotgun, and then who's in the back seat when it comes to us as individuals and what drives our passions and what drives our focus, what drives our words and our posts and our attitudes toward the world around us. We don't want to say I'm primarily a pundit or primarily a like patriot to the left or patriot to the right. We really want to, in some ways, be comparatively almost agnostic to those things in comparison to the more important thing of, hey, Matt, how do I represent Jesus well? How do I embody Jesus well? How do I speak to the truths of Jesus well? How do I model the priorities of Jesus well? And how am I most known as one who claims Jesus in this world? Because that's what's most important. And I think what that's going to require of all of us is saying, you know what, if I become very much like, yay, the Savior arrived, or oh, the Savior just left, then we need to recalibrate a little bit of then what is most important. And I think that's going to drive us back to saying, what are the red letters of Jesus? What is it he's expecting of us? What is he calling us to do? What were the things that he valued and prioritized, right? And I think about that. When I just start to mentally go through the Gospels, I'm like, man, Jesus, when he shows up in Luke chapter 4, he's like, I've come to do certain things. And it's about bringing release to the captives, which here's the good news. Both the former president and the current president, man, they're letting people out left and right right now. They're releasing the captives. Maybe they're both saviors at that point, right? They're both just pardoning like crazy people, saying, hey, I got the power to pardon. Why not pardon people that either beat up cops or broke the law? Which, by the way, this is just a weird sidebar for me. I'm not sure why we've given the power of pardon to presidents when they're supposed to uphold the law and they're supposed to uphold kind of what the legislature has put in place as the executive branch. And so someplace there are law enforcement offices, there are courts, there are judges, there are juries that have decided people are guilty. And then a president can go, yeah, we're going to disrupt the system and just pardon them anyway. That's a weird deal. I'm always like kind of dumbfounded by that, right? But again, I don't remember exactly where I was going with all of that. That's what happens when I sidebar a little bit, just go down a rabbit trail. I'm like, ooh, how do I come back to the main trail? I don't know. But again, I think when we start thinking like, hey, these are the saviors, we're missing that we have a savior. And then with that, if we think they're the saviors, then we tend to kind of gravitate to their ideologies or policies or executive decisions or whatever it is the most important doctrines of our guiding principles in life right now. And that's just not gonna be the case. So I always go back and go, okay, Jesus came with a certain priority and he's like, man, I care about the poor. I care about the captive. I care about the imprisoned. I care about the lesser thans, the forgottens, the ostracized, whatever. And I go, that's gotta be our priority as well, because he states it that that's a part of the good news. Part of the good news is not simply cross, death, resurrection, ascension, soul-shaping things, which is, I'm not saying it's not a part of the gospel, it is. But the gospel is so much bigger than that. It's good news for the world. It's good news for everybody, because that's what, again, Jesus is coming to do. He's coming to touch all areas of life. So we want to be in that headspace that says, man, I care about the two. Jesus clearly cared about healing people. We should care about healing people, mind, body, soul. That should be an investment for us. Jesus said, hey, my kingdom's not of this world. That should be the same thing for us, where we go, man, my kingdom is not of this world. It's why I don't want to be patriot in the front seat, pundit in the front seat, because none of these systems are representing Jesus's kingdom. They're very opposite of that. Like, Jesus is clear to us. He's like, man, don't be like the rulers of this world who lord over people. Here's what you know. If your party is not in power, you feel lorded over. When your party is in power, other people feel lorded over. You know why? Because what's true is usually either party, whenever they're in charge, they lord over. That's kind of what they do, right? They're like, hey, X percent of the country, you're just out of luck. We're in the driver's seat. So again, Biden, lord it over. Trump will lord over. Those administrations will lord over. That's just the way the kingdoms of the world work. But Jesus says, but for you as my followers, it's different. Literally, as they lord over, you serve. As they seek to be great, you choose to be the least. That's the way of Jesus. And that is what the prophet and the priest then reinforce, right? So we want to, as followers of Jesus, reinforce those ideas. If I go a step further, what we also need to do as priests and prophets in our space is whenever we see things that go against the way of Jesus, we want to A, vocalize those, and B, not fall into following those things that go opposite of the way of Jesus. And so that's another element where I think sometimes I see people get really excited about stuff where I'm like, that's just black and white in the scriptures, that we don't do those things. People are like, no, it doesn't matter. To run a real society, you can't do what the Bible says to run a real culture. And I should say, or at least I think what we need to say in that is that may be true in this world, but we as followers of Jesus can't endorse those things. So when there's something that we go, hey, that is improper, that is imprudent, that is contrary to the marching orders of our Messiah, then we just do it different. And sometimes it just means we have to speak up and say, yeah, that's not healthy, or that's not right, that's not proper behavior, that's not good modeling of Christian faith. Because I do see a lot of that. I see a lot of like pandering to our faith and pandering to our scriptures, and then taking our scriptures and forcing them to certain molds that are much more political than they really are kind of Christ-like. And so all the more from that, we have to kind of be eyes wide open and saying, I don't want to go down those roads, and I don't want to validate those things that are contrary to Jesus. When I see something contrary to the way of Jesus, something contrary to the Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Plain, fruit of the Spirit, definition of love, when I see something contrary, I don't want to be like turning a blind eye or say, if it's my party, no big deal. But when it's their party, it's a huge deal. No, what Jesus calls us to is consistency. I think about the book of James, when we are told to not show partiality because God doesn't show partiality. We are supposed to be kind of level-headed when you have the extremes of life. We're to be centrist in many ways when it comes to the polarization in our world. And even in that, we're to be the peacemakers more than we're to be kind of the agitators. And I see sometimes that happens both for followers of Jesus on the left and followers of Jesus on the right. They love to breed agitation. They love to push buttons. They love to be snarky. They love to be super critical of the other side. And I go, that's just not to be the way it is with us. It's just Jesus calls us to something radically different, which is why he then gives a standard that is so upside down and backwards from the world. Because again, just his way is a different kind of way. Now to do that, man, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to get into that space that is reminded constantly of the fact that people that don't see the world as I do, not my enemy. People who may even want to do me harm, still not really my enemy, right? Like that's where Paul comes into play. Like, here's a guy that he was beaten, he was imprisoned, he was hated, he was chased, eventually he was martyred, right? He was killed for his faith by human powers. And he's the guy that keeps saying, not our enemies. They're not our enemies. We're not against them. They may be against us, but that's because they're blind. It's because they don't know. And he just kept leaning into the idea that the way you reach people and change things is you don't vilify them and attack them or try to get others to see them in a negative light, but rather you're constantly trying to figure out how to connect with them and reach them and win them over, have them go from somebody that doesn't care for you to somebody that is now pulling in the same direction as you. Like, that whole thing is hard. And I think that's hard both for people that are passionately on the left and passionately on the right. That's hard for people that are probably more preached to by way of media news-wise or inputs from critical sources than they are from that space of saying, I just want to focus on Christ and what Christ is asking me to do and to sacrifice and to care about in this world. Because it's really easy to get fired up by all the stuff, right? Like, I'm already watching it. And, again, if you pay attention to the media of the left, this is already an epic failure from day one. If you pay attention to stuff on the right, finally flourishing is coming to America, greatest presidency to ever kind of hit the stage. And both of those things are just over extremes. And both of those things only rile people up either to gloat or to just be hostile. And again, I'm saying we as followers of Jesus just have to do business differently. We just really have to do business in a different kind of way. And I think in that it has to be objective to say, what are the true priorities that the scriptures outline for me to embody and live out? Not what is my political beliefs? What is my left or right ideology, and how well is that being fulfilled? But rather it's saying, hey, what parts of my political ideology very much align with Jesus, and what parts of my ideology does not align with Jesus? And the parts that don't align with Jesus, how do I submit those to Jesus so I can be fully in alignment with Jesus? And that's work, man. That's really a lot of work. I think part of this isn't simply just the ideologies. I think it's the attitudes that are associated with that. Like, it's very easy to again, just vilify other sides or to be angry about things or to be overly hopeful to the point of like faith in systems and people that are actually a part of the things that go away one day. Like, Jesus, like, that's just the stuff of the world. Like, you know, we need to always kind of be finding that way that we get more centered on the person of Christ and the mission of Christ, and we are submitting all these other things to him. And again, that's just a journey. That's a process. But I think it's having to put it on our radar. And I think as soon as we start to feel the agitation, like over the last 4 years, I've watched people on the right just be very, very agitated by things, very, very reactive to things, very, like, I remember I had a friend of mine who's like, there's not one good thing Joe Biden said, so how dare anybody say one good thing about him? And I'm like, you're definitely in a space. Like, I can find good things about almost all people, no matter what. And if you feel like there's not one good thing, and there's just, like, there's this vilification of a person and everything else, probably not the healthiest thing, as much as on the other side, right? Where there's people like, Trump is nothing but evil. I'm like, he's not nothing but evil. What are you saying about that? Like, again, you disagree with him, fine. You think there's things about his character that are unhealthy, totally get it. There's things that I think so too, on both sides, right? Especially these pardons lately. Both sides, I'm like, these pardons are just bizarre to me. But it's also seeking to see the best, think the best, find the good in things. And then with that, spending more time trying to figure out how we can be peacemakers and healers more than we can be, again, what? Pundits. More than we can be a what again? Patriots. Like, that's the thing. So is patriotism bad? No, not saying patriotism is bad. Is it saying being somebody that can articulate positions for either the left or the right is bad? No, I think that's fantastic. But I think as followers of Jesus, we have to be thinking through how are those riding in the backseat and how is being prophets and priests riding in the front seat, right? Because we are to speak truth in the face of all error. We are to be mediators for God in the face of all people, because we remember that God seeks that all people would come to a knowledge of the truth. God seeks that all people would rethink things and come to different conclusions. And guess what? There are a lot of people on the left and there's a lot of people on the right that need that clarity. And we will be that clarity. We have to opt for that clarity and choose that clarity. And I think if we make that our center, if we make that our driving force in everything else, and we're making sure that, again, back seat is in the back seat, front seat's in the front seat, and Jesus is the one that's guiding the map for life. If we do that in a committed, thoughtful, gracious, loving way, we will be more effective everyday missionaries.